May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated, and I'm sorry I didn't turn on the air conditioning. I guess I could say we're not going to have a sermon today for in honor of all the fathers, but you would be so sad. Today, all the lessons have to do with harvest, you know, and that the harvest waits. And for me, that really got my attention. The harvest waits, and that is still a challenge for each and every one of us today, because the harvest still waits. And that's our ministry, and I'll get into it a little bit more later. That's our work, but our work of love for the Lord, and our work of love for even in here and out in the world. If we think about it, if we, all of us here today, if we know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and aren't willing to even do a little bit of harvesting for Jesus, who's going to do it? We say we love the Lord. Well, if we do, it's up to us to harvest for the Lord. And if we are willing, we learn from the gospel, we're to do it in a certain way. We are to be trusting, we are to be obedient, and we are to be doing. We have to actually go further than say, oh yes, I believe and I love the Lord and I trust in God, but we have to go further than that and live that trust, live that obedience, and live that love, and do, we have to do for God. And then, with a certain attitude, a godly attitude, we are to be vulnerable, we are to be compassionate, we are to be patient, we are to be brave, and we are to be faithful to the Lord our God. Now, if we think about faithfulness, you can't get any better than this example that's at the end of the lesson in Romans from Paul. Jesus is the example of faithfulness. Brian read it. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. And just that line, that might make us think, huh? But for me, if I'm out and about in the world and there's a problem, and let's say it's somebody I'm really not fond of, would I be willing to die for that person to save them? If it was my grandchild or somebody in my family or a very close friend, naturally, I might be more encouraged to do that, but maybe not even then. I don't know. But for somebody we don't like, or somebody we actually hate, or somebody that we think is not worthy, we might not extend ourselves to give our lives up for them. But what did Jesus do? Jesus not only gave up his life for all the righteous, for those who are good, for those who are pretty good, but for the worst of the worst. And that's the example of faithfulness that we are to try to imitate. So here we go in the gospel. It starts off with Jesus' ministry of teaching, of healing, of caring, because he's aware. We hear this when he goes to the, the Mount, when he feeds the 5,000. It's the same thing. He stops, and he looks, and he has compassion on them. He's probably exhausted, but his compassion is for them. Why? Because he could see that they were harassed and helpless. And that's why Jesus is the good shepherd. They were harassed and helpless, and he wanted to stop and help them. That is the harvest that needed to be reaped. They didn't even realize that they had the good shepherd with them just yet. So let's think about this. If the harvest, and there's some farmers, and we live in a rural area, so we would get it. If the harvest in crops is never taken care of, what happens if they're not reaped, if they're not taken care of? They die, they wither, and they die. Nothing is fruitful that comes from them. It doesn't help. All of that life, all of that goodness is gone because it wasn't helped. So Jesus is trying to tell them, there's a harvest out there, but the laborers are few. We've got to do this for them. And so he gets his 12 disciples and he summons them and he gives them authority, even over the unclean spirits. And then he names them and he sends them out so that they become his apostles, because apostles is a word for being sent out. So what happens? Jesus sends them out, but with instructions. He says, go nowhere among the Gentiles just yet, he said, and don't enter the towns of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? Well, how about the last verse in Exodus? Everything the Lord has spoken to us, we will do. So it's the same thing. They knew God the Father. They weren't very faithful, but they knew God the Father. The Gentiles didn't. The Samaritans, they didn't. But the Jews knew God the Father, and the Jews had to be reconciled back to God Almighty. And that's what Jesus wanted to get done first. And so what does he tell them? He kind of gives them a job description. He says, as you go, proclaim the good news. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Can you imagine if we really believe that we could do that? And we are. We are to believe that we can do that, because we are God's apostles. We are his brothers and sisters. So we have to become just a little bit more brave and a little bit more bold and really be Jesus to the world. And then what does he say? He gives another directive. He says, go, but trust in God. Don't be demanding. He says, you have been given all that you have without payment. Jesus didn't ask for payment. He just gave, gave, and gave. He said, so you've been given without payment. So you don't take gold. Don't take silver. Don't be demanding. Just give of yourselves as I have given you. And he even goes further. He said, don't take money. Don't take a bag for your journey. Don't take extra tunics or sandals. Sounds a little scary. Don't take a staff, because the house of Israel, the Israelites you visit, the towns you go into, they should, if they hear the word of God from you, they should, of their own, give you food and shelter and clothes and whatever it is you need. Because we've heard it before. If people love the Lord, they're generous and happy givers. Almost sounds like a stewardship sermon. And then he talks about attitude. He says, as you enter a house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. So each and every one of us, filled with the Holy Spirit, we give our peace, our love, and our compassion just freely. And if we do that, like they do, things will work. But if the house rejects your peace, which is really God Almighty's peace, let your peace return to you. In other words, don't be angry, don't have an attitude, don't be resentful or go away and huff, just leave. Dust the dust the dirt off of your feet. Don't be retaliating. Just leave. Maybe later on you can go back and they will be willing to listen to the word of the Lord. And then he lets them know, being a Christian, being my disciple, being my apostle, is not easy. It's actually dangerous. It's risky. Because he even tells them, I'm sending you out in the midst of wolves. But he tells them, be wise, be aware, pay attention to what's going on, but always be gentle, be loving, and do your best for God Almighty. So it is risky to be a Christian. But he also tells them when things get at their worst, which we know that St. Paul had been through a lot, and he said they may even flog you and bring you before governors, judges, all sorts of people, and maybe even put you to death. But don't worry what you're going to say in your defense, because you don't have to. God Almighty is going to give you the words that you need to say, that will hopefully reconcile the entire world back to himself. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy always being brave. We've all had bad times. But if we really love the Lord, we keep putting one foot in front of the other and be joyful for all that God has given us. And in the end, if we keep doing that, even though sometimes we may fall or stumble or not do as great as other times, if we endure with our faith and love in the Lord, what does the gospel say? We will be saved. And we are saved because of Jesus Christ. We are saved because he died for us and rose again for us. He has given us our salvation. So we are to have faith, obedience, and love. Sounds easy, but it's not. But we do have Jesus' promise of salvation, and we do have the Holy Spirit active in each and every one of us if we choose. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, to be together, to worship you. We ask that if we're sometimes a little bit timid or hesitant, you give us courage. We ask that when we have courage, if we share your love, if we get rejected, we don't have a bad attitude, but we are just still loving and gentle and keep trying. We ask that if we feel we don't have the words, we ask that we are able to trust in you to help us at that time. We also ask that all of us can share our gifts for the common good, so that each and every one of us is enlightened, nourished, and comforted, and feeling safe within your household, the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.